Dairy farmers continue to deal with low milk prices. And as the industry and regulators continue to look for more solutions, one area that's getting a closer look is the system that sets most of the country's milk prices. It's a system that's notoriously complicated, and our next guest recently spent some time trying to break down how it works. Will Cushman is an associate editor at WisContext. He's the author of two new articles on the milk pricing system. You can see those at wiscontext.org. Will, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here.
Well, looking at milk prices, a big concern, obviously, for dairy farmers around Wisconsin. In a nutshell, how these prices are set is complicated, right? What goes into it?
It's super complicated. A lot of things go into it. It depends on where you are. In Wisconsin, it's dependent on federal regulations. It includes kind of basic supply and demand economics, but as well as a bunch of other things that are that the federal government requires in terms of classified pricing, price pooling, all sorts of stuff.
And things like the price of cheddar, the cheddar price we see at the stores, that is an icon. Not all cheeses, but cheddar factors into what farmers get paid for that raw milk.
Right. So one of the things that goes into the value of milk is they determine the value of milk by different components that are in the milk. And so one of those components is protein. And they determine the value of protein by the value of specific weights of cheddar cheese. And it's been like that for a long time. I think it's because we consume a lot of cheddar in this country.
Now, you have a chart in one of your pieces that really paints a dire picture. We look at the nominal price, what the price tag on that that milk right now. But you did one inflation adjusted going back to before the Great Depression. And tell us what we see when we look at that.
Right. So what you see in the inflation adjusted milk prices is quite a bit of swinging. It plummets in the Great Depression, which makes sense. And then the milk prices pretty much recover after that through the late 70s and the beginning in the 1980s, even though the real price for milk has kind of steadily gone up since then. It has not kept up with inflation, and really so the effective price of milk has really plummeted since the early 80s.
And we saw the prices go up a few years back. You write that that led some farmers to produce more milk, but even with that increase, it wasn't keeping up with inflation, and it's dropped again since then, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's been dropping since a high in 2014. The price of milk has fallen close to 30% and has kind of hovered around there since then.
And this is obviously putting financial stress on most dairy farmers here in the state.
Yes, it is. We've been losing dairy herds at a record pace in 2018. A lot of counties have seen upwards of 25-30% dairy herd loss in the last few years.
Now, you talked to some industry experts about the changes that have happened over the last decades. Is there talk about changing the complicated way that milk is priced?
Yes, there is. I know that the USDA is planning to go to a new hearing possibly this year or next to see about tweaks to the pricing system, which, again, is really complicated. If listeners want to hear more about that, I definitely would recommend going to our content on WisContext.
But they would be taking comments from dairy farmers and, in theory, trying to rebuild this system from the ground up?
Yeah, literally anyone can participate in those hearings and can offer recommendations. And then the USDA can only draw from those recommendations that come in during those public hearings in making rule changes.
Well, thanks a lot for the whirlwind tour.
Sure.
We've been talking about milk prices with Will Cushman from WisContext. Now for more on this, we turn to Mark Hagedorn, a UW Extension agriculture agent in Eau Claire County. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Oh, happy to be here.
Well, we were just hearing some about the low dairy prices farmers are experiencing. Can you talk about what you're seeing on the ground with farmers figuring out if they can stay in business?
Yeah, it's been a real challenge for ever since we had our height of this cycle in 2014. Pardon the pun, milk prices have really gone in the tank. And, you know, it's been a struggle because our input expenses, cost, purchase feed, seed, petroleum products for tractor, gas, fuel, oil, those kind of things have stayed constant or maybe even gone up while milk prices are continuing to stay down or sometimes even edge a little bit further in the wrong direction. So cash flows on farms have been a real problem. this has been resulting in people really needing to examine just exactly what their business plan should look like and if they need to make some changes in that business plan in order to save the equity they have left in their operation.
What kind of changes are dairy farmers making in their business plan that can help them navigate, especially these lower prices?
I think what we're seeing, producers are looking at going from dairying, you know, your very traditional, conventional milking cows two or three times a day and totally exiting and just raising row crops. That would be an option. Talked to a lot of producers that are looking at phasing out the milk cows, continuing to raise heifers, and maybe introducing feedlot steers. The beef price is still one of those few shiny objects that are out there on the horizon where people can get a little bit better return on their investment. So they're able to continue doing the thing they love, which is farm. They're just doing it with different moving parts.
How difficult is it to make these decisions, given that you're deciding based on what the prices are today, but you might the animal you buy today might not be in production, might not be sellable, might not be producing milk until the prices have changed down the road?
Well, you've got to take a long-range plan look at this, and that's one thing that we've gotten pretty good at over the years is taking a look at numbers we've got in production, what we're able to produce now, what we'd be looking at for cash flow a year down the road. And while we're doing this, we're taking into account just how much debt retirement we're able to account for, what our cost of production is. And you put all those moving parts together, and then you have to make that decision as to, are we going to continue playing the game, or are we going to adjust what we're doing and how we're doing it?
Now, when I go to the store, I see a lot of different kinds of cheese on the market of varying prices. I know cheddar is one of the anchors for the price that the farmer's milk is set at. For premium cheeses, for higher cost cheeses, are farmers getting, I guess, their fair share of the cost of that final product when they sell their milk?
That's a difficult question to answer. I suppose it's going to depend on who you ask. When you take a look at higher end cheeses versus your more generic lines of cheese, you've got to understand that aged cheeses are in fact aged. So that's inventory that's been sitting in a environmentally controlled chamber for years, potentially 8 to 10 years for a good aged cheese. So there's a lot of money, time, and infrastructure invested in that by the middle person. So that is certainly not leaking back down to the dairy farmer. Dairy producers are very conscious of the protein, butterfat levels in their milk. They're also very conscious about quality aspects such as somatic cell count and bacteria. You do a good job with all four of those, and you will get a premium from the processor, which makes your milk check a little bit larger. But it also costs a bit more to feed a cow to get higher component tests with butter, fat, and protein. So it's a moving scale. And you also have to bear in mind, Rob, that 90% of Wisconsin's fluid milk is turned into cheese. Mm-hmm. There's very little fluid milk processed in the state. So, and then once you get the 90% of that milk turned into cheese, a lot of that is exported to other parts of the country or into our largest export neighbor, Mexico. The dairy industry is no longer just a state or a regional thing. It's a world market, and it's a supply and demand market, just like any other commodity that we deal with in life.
Milk pricing has been changed. The formula has been changed a couple times over the decades. Is it due for a new tweak?
Another good question, and I think that depends on who you ask. There are several entities across the United States that are having a real hard discussion on supply management strategies. And with one or two of these supply management strategies, they're looking at taking all of our federal milk marketing orders and combining them into one. Right now, we have federal milk marketing orders for multiple areas of the United States, and the equations that are utilized in these different areas, there are a lot of components in that equation to help determine how pricing in different parts of the country pans out. Sort of a fun story for those of us that live in the Eau Claire area. Back in the day, the Eau Claire milk price was sort of the center of the hub of Class 3 milk pricing, but that epicenter has now started to move out and away from here just by virtue of the industry and the age of our producers, the size of our farms. Considerably more milk is produced on the east side of the state than here in the west, but there's still certainly a good dairy tradition here.
We'll leave it there, Mark. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me, Rob.
That was Mark Hagedorn with UW Extension in Eau Claire with us to talk about some of the market challenges in the dairy industry. To read more about that and how dairy prices are set, go online to wiscontext.org.